Welcome to the Fully Express podcast.
We are your hosts, Samantha and Karenna.
This is a show where we invite you into your fullest expressed self in life, relationships, and business. We believe that if you crave more, you are meant for more. There is room for all of us to be fully expressed.
Along with the show, we've created a virtual community to connect you with fellow listeners. Make sure to check out the Fully Expressed community membership. You'll find the link to join in the show notes and on our website.
So excited to see you there.
Enjoy this new episode. Welcome back. We are so excited today. We have a favorite guest of mine for sure, I think, a fellow astrologer. Her name is Catherine Wheeler. Not only is she an astrology of over 20 years, but she's also an activation and ascension guide who assists in exploring, rediscovering, and empowering the soul's highest and truest potential. She also has done human design for over 5 years, which is so cool. I'm excited to talk about that. And she is an Akashic Records guide and a new paradigm business coach and the host of her very own podcast, Soul Rediscovery.
Yeah.
So thank you for coming.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited.
Yeah. So, I mean, where to start? There's so many things.
I know. I have this like long list.
Yeah. I love it.
Identities and things.
So tell us, I guess let's start with like astrology, because that's what it sounds like you've done the longest. Maybe you can talk a little bit about how you got into that. And I know that you focus on a little bit of wealth and business is kind of your niche in astrology or your focus, it sounds like. So tell us a little bit about how you got into it and what that looks like.
Yeah, for sure. So I got into astrology over 20 years ago. Let's see, I'm 30. So it was 23 years ago, 7 years old, had a crush on a boy.
That's amazing.
Like
that's
the little so Libra moon that I am.
Yeah.
Still my best guy friend to this day. But yeah, I got really into it because my mom and I would always go to the bookstore every single week. We didn't have a ton growing up. And we would get a book for like 50 cents every single week. That was like my little treat. And one time I got a book on the Greek gods and goddesses. And so I got just like super into it. I've seen my past lives my whole life too. So I was just like remembering my past lives and Greece and everything too. And basically I was reading like magazine one day, like American Girl or, you know, something like that. And it mentioned Venus in the horoscope section. And I was like, oh, like Venus, like that's Aphrodite. I know Venus. And then I just became obsessed with it. And I would like rip out the pages and bring them to school. And like I said, it was mostly because I had a crush on this boy that I super got into it. Like, are we compatible? Like, he's a Cancer, I'm an Aries. Like, what's happening here? So my friend, I remember she was a Leo and her crush was a Sagittarius. And I was like, no, you guys are perfect for each other. Like, this is written in the stars. This is meant to be. So I would like counsel everybody on the playground. And then I just kind of became known for it, like even through high school and college. I was an actor and backstage, like I would do people's charts and things, or on set, I would do it. And then, yeah, it became my business at around 23. I started taking it more seriously and professionally because I was like, oh, I can make money doing this.
Yeah, that's so cool.
People are going to pay me for this. And then it just evolved into wealth and business coaching from there. But honestly, I mostly use relationship astrology, even within my wealth and my business coaching, synastry, which is where you look at two charts compared together, or you look at one person's chart and look at, okay, this is the kind of partner that's really good for you. So a lot of what I do with my clients, especially on the business coaching end, is, oh, okay, this is your ideal soulmate client that you're going to really enjoy working with. And also is going to get a lot out of you and be that bread and butter client for you that's going to buy every single time.
Oh, I love that. That's cool.
So cool.
Yeah, we talked. So when we've had a conversation, we talked more about the North Node and how that plays into everything. But I never thought to like compare a client and like an individual to figure out, okay, who is the ideal client or what sounds like, what's the person your energy or your soul's going to be seeking?
Yeah. And again, it was really dating that showed that to me. My guides came to me when I first moved to San Diego and I was like, okay, what's the next step? Like, how do I grow my business? And they said, date like it's your business. like date like it's your full-time job. So I was going on like 2 to 3 dates a day.
Damn.
Like averaging like 8 to 10 dates a week.
Wow. Love it.
And just collecting data, like researching. I remember telling my therapist at the time, she's like, actually, I really love this for you because I don't normally like guys.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like everybody that I meet. I'm not that kind of girl. I like someone maybe every like 5 years. So I was like, I'm really just dating for the practice, to get out there, to see my new city. And I told my therapist, Melissa, I was like, you know, and really like to research, because I'd like to see if these men act like, you know, their sun signs, their moon signs, their rising signs, because I don't know them as well. It's not like a client where I'm seeing the chart first. I would see the chart later. And I just noticed all these patterns and I thought, wow, this is really great intel for understanding like wealth astrology, because it's so, again, tied into who we're here to pair with and what codes we're here to share with one another.
Do you look at individual planets and as well in people like Jupiter or some of the planets that are associated with money and the houses?
Yeah, 100%. And that's even what I mean by like the wealth and relationship piece, because even like in a woman or a femme person's chart who is into men or masculine people, you're going to look at Jupiter placement for the husband. Like that was something that I tested and researched with my clients and with my community. And I got over like hundreds of responses. And 99% of the time, it was like a very clear, literal story of the house where the woman's Jupiter was. That was how she met her husband. So
in her specific chart. So wherever the Jupiter was in her chart.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
So even like, because I have so many, I have a Taurus 11th house. So I have a lot of like feminine and divine feminine clients and energy who don't just want to know about the money. They also want to know about the relationship piece or the beauty piece, like that kind of thing. So I'm like, it's really all one and the same. You know, it's all like luck and blessings and beauty and fortune and,
yeah,
you know, just all those good things.
So how do you tie, because we could go, I know we could go deep down into chart readings and stuff, but I know like what we like to talk about as particularly with our audience is how we can really embody and become our fullest expressed self. And so like when we look at astrology and human design and these different things, like they're tools that we can utilize to try to understand ourselves at a deeper level. And when you work with clients, like what are some of the things that you encourage them to see within themselves or to look at? Like so that if someone's listening to this and they don't know astrology or they don't know those things, like how could they maybe start to discover a little bit deeper knowledge into who they are? Like I know I've spoken to the North Node, but I know there's many ways and many ways to skin a cat. And
100%. I always start with the moon. Because I think that when, again, just through all of my trial and error and research and observation over 20 years, it really comes down to people's moons. Like if your moon is happy, the rest of your chart just unlocks naturally.
And that's your emotional self.
Yeah. What is the moon?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let's describe that a little bit.
I'll let you. Yeah. You take the lead.
Yeah. So the moon is your unconscious. The moon is your emotional self. It's what brings you security and fulfillment and satisfaction in life, even pleasure in life. It's what makes you feel like life is worth living, essentially, and like you're safe and secure and your well-being is in check. It's also connected to your mother. So it's not just like your literal mother. It's also how you self-mother and how you self-nurture as well. So even within like the business space and talking about, you know, nervous system regulation, something that regulates an Aries moon is going to be completely different than like a Cancer moon, right? So I love to have that conversation with clients, because when you look at your moon and your birth chart, if you're satisfying your moon and your moon is happy, the rest of it kind of just clicks into place. So if you only know your moon, like that makes a huge difference.
So when you say that, I mean, like break it down for someone that doesn't know like how this applies to business.
Yeah.
Like, when you're saying like satisfies their moon, or you're saying like satisfies their emotions, like they're regulated in their day to day, is that different than someone looking at their business from like, is this my purpose? Is this my calling? Or is this, I'm using this to make money or to use wealth? Like, is that different or is that the same?
No, it's all one and the same. Because it's the way that we came here to express ourselves and the things we came here to enjoy, right? And there's nothing more magnetic in business than someone who's enjoying themselves.
Yeah, that loves it. And you're like, wow, I need to be doing this. Like, you know, for us too, like this podcast feels really good. I want to do that more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that feels really good.
Exactly.
Okay, so there's a sense of aliveness that comes on.
Yeah, 100%. And also, it's just one of those things, again, through all of my observation and research, I noticed when my clients really listened to and tapped into their moons, opportunities just like came out of nowhere, you know? Or they just were on the right path. Like, I had one client who had a Cancer moon in the fourth house. And I asked her, I said, how often are you like cooking with your kids, spending time as a family? She goes, it's so funny, because I was just telling my husband that I want more of that.
And I was like, fourth house is home and family.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Home, family, ancestors, emotional well-being. So I told her, I said, you know, for your homework, I would love for you to go and like cook with your children, especially if it's like an ancestral meal, right? Like something that your mother passed down to you. She's like, oh, okay. And she did it. And she was like, Catherine, you're never even going to believe this. I had like a bunch of clients sign up when I was doing that. And I was like,
I literally have chills all over the place. It's amazing.
Yeah. That makes so much sense because I'm a Pisces moon in the fifth house and
love.
I love this.
That's like, so like dreamy.
Yeah.
And I love that.
What does that mean?
I'm going to be the first that's like, no. I always love hearing somebody
tell me
this. Yeah, you
well,
tell me.
I love a Pisces
moon. She's like, uh-huh, what does that mean?
Tell me.
I have a Pisces stellium too, deja vu as I'm saying this. But I love a Pisces moon because, again, moon is like, it's nurturing. It's our emotions. It's the unconscious. And Pisces is like the dream world. You know, Pisces is being able to connect to the interconnectedness of everything, right? So Pisces moons just tend to kind of like take you into this like beautiful, like fantasy, pleasurable dream world when you're around them. Yeah. And then the fifth house is my favorite house in astrology.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. My north node is there.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. And my Jupiter and my Pluto. And I call it the Disneyland house because it's both like,
it's like, why?
Inside astrology jokes. I call it the Disneyland house because it's like both kid and adult Disneyland. So it's like kid Disneyland in terms of like fun, play, like pastimes, like getting on a roller coaster, having a good time. And then it's adult Disneyland of like, ooh, pleasure and like really great sex and dates and romance.
Yeah. And it's like creativity. Mm-hmm. It's the house of the inner child,
life
and children.
Force energy. Yeah.
How can someone that doesn't have know about their houses, how does someone see where their houses are, or where can you find their house? Where can someone find their house that's listening to this and it's like, wait, what's in my fourth house? What's in my fifth house? What does that look like?
That's a great question. Yeah. So I personally really like astro.com.
Okay.
That's my preferred. And it's free and you can keep a bunch of charts too and you can run a bunch of different things. It's what, honestly, astro.com and astrogold are what most Western astrologers who are professional use. And I don't know what house system you normally use.
I use Placidus.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I know whole sign is very popular. So Placidus is based on where the sun, like the degree the sun was rising.
Okay.
Location.
It's where the sun was on
yes,
the horizon.
Yes, okay, thank you. I was
when
right.
you were born. Yes.
And whole sign just makes the mm-hmm. chart even. So those are like the two big ways to read a chart, mm-hmm. but it can move your planets in different houses. I found the most accuracy to be through Placidus personally, but I mean, you can see where all the charts. You could see, it could show up in many ways.
You can use a bunch of there's so many house systems too, but those are the two most popular, I would say.
Yeah. And I think if you go to astro.com and you just put your birthday and birth time in and location, it will come up as Placidus.
Okay. Well, yes. We should just put that in the show notes.
Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes.
For anyone that wants to be able to like access it themselves.
Yeah.
Are there any other parts of the chart that someone should really look into when they want to step into their fullest expressed self, right? And it can be, we can focus this on business because I think it'd be so, I mean, we can do anything, but I think business would be really good because it's like a new topic or category for us.
Yeah.
So I'd love to know like what other parts of someone's chart do you feel like really unlocks like their fullest expressed self?
Cards of Fortune.
Okay.
Hands down. Hands down. She's my little secret weapon. Yeah, that is my favorite. You can call it the part of fortune, fortuna, pars of fortune. I prefer to call it pars of fortune. But basically, it's an Arabic part in astrology. So it's a calculation between a few different places in the chart. But again, astro.com will run it if you select it. Like, it's there in extended chart selection. But basically what it is it's the merging of the spiritual and the physical. So it is like the luckiest place in your chart. And it's sort of the point in astrology that points to everything, like life purpose, wealth, how you find things. So even my own journey, I have a pars of fortune in Capricorn in my seventh house. Seventh house is one-to-one relationships. Capricorn is like business, authority, you know, leadership. The boy who I had the crush on that like really got me deeper into astrology, his moon is on my pars of fortune.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. And there was another man that was sort of the catalyst for me turning it into a business. And his Venus is on my pars of fortune. So there's really a connection here when you have synastry or when you have transits, which is when the planets are moving through what they currently are in on top of your pars of fortune, but you can access it regardless. But that's like the point in the chart if you want all kinds of wealth, financial, holistic, anything.
Cool. Yeah. And if people find that where that is, what would indicate, like without having to go through all the houses, obviously, and all the signs, what would be a way to like indicate, like say for yours in the seventh house, so your example was through relationships, particularly with the
with
intimate
men.
Or romantic relationships.
One-to-one relationships.
Yeah, one-to-one. They like brought you deeper into your career, your purpose, your like what motivated you to wealth and success.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So people can look at what house it's in. And I mean, you can Google and find online the basics of like what houses represent.
I have a masterclass on it too.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Send us a link.
Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes.
I have a moon masterclass as well now that I think.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, yeah.
Cool. I'll give you all those. They can like see where that is, and that can indicate if they utilize their energy and express in that area, that's going to lead them to more wealth, more success, more opportunity.
And I like to ask my clients too, like, I like to ask them like, okay, around these themes, have you already experienced that in your life? Right? I like to look at astrology really retroactively rather than just like future forecasting, because all of this, it's very Cancer rising of me, but all of the cycles of the past can really inform the decisions that we make today, right? So if someone has a pars of fortune in, say, Taurus in the fifth house, I had a client with that. And I said, do you tend to make a lot of money or attracting clients or have your most creative ideas when you're at the spa getting a massage or something? She goes, yes, how did you know that? And I said, well, because you have a Taurus pars of fortune in the fifth. She's like, oh my God, I need to book more facials. And I was like, yeah, basically.
I love that. Can that be mine?
I know.
Mine's traveling. When I travel or I'm anywhere else, like on a plane or a new city or something like that, oh my God, all the creative juices are just flowing.
Do you have like Sagittarius or ninth house placements?
She's a south node Sagittarius.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
South node is another really important
one. She does also
have
planets there, but I can't remember which ones. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah, South Node, because I know you guys did an episode on the North Node, right?
Yeah.
That's another one I'm super passionate about explaining to people.
Because it's so powerful. It's like our school
so
that we came here to master.
So powerful. And it also, too, I feel like a lot of modern astrologers teach it incorrectly, which can be actually really dangerous, of like fully leaving your South Node behind
altogether.
Right,
you're finding the balance. Yeah.
It's literally about that. And when you ground into your South Node, your North Node finds you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, when you heal the karmic part.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask like a bigger picture astrology-wise when it comes to like wealth and business, like, you know, wherever the planets are today, I'm never going to say this right. I don't know what I'm talking about. But, you know, but depending on where planets are and like where things are going, where do you think, you know, wealth and business is going?
Yeah, because Pluto's retrograde in Capricorn for the last time. So, yeah, I want to know too what your thoughts are, because I've listened to a lot of different opinions out there.
So I actually talk about this a lot in my work, because like when you were introducing me, a big thing I'm really passionate about is the new paradigm, because this is not just an astrological thing. This is also a human design phenomena as well.
But yeah, we're entering into a new, I forget what how they call it. But
yes,
a new...
it's a mutation. So gate 55 is mutating in human design in 2027. So at the same time in astrology, we have these transits that are really influencing our world. So as far as business goes, it's really about what I like to call the new paradigm, which is this finding the shape and form of your puzzle piece within a larger puzzle. So if all of humanity is a puzzle and we're all meant to fit together on that interconnectedness, we're meant to do so now in the age of Aquarius or with like the human design new paradigm as individuals. So finding the specificity of the shape and form of our puzzle piece is what we're currently moving through. And especially in business, like that is going to be the cornerstone of what makes people successful. It's no longer a cookie cutter, copy paste sort of model. It's like your story, your personal branding, what makes you special, what makes your product special, right? Like people want to know what is it that makes you stand out? And again, what are the codes that you're sharing with me that Susie Q down the street doesn't have?
Is it also like, how do I say this? Because I feel like there's also this trend or something that I feel called to is like a lot more collaboration.
Oh, 100%.
A lot more like, delegating.
100%.
A lot more like, okay, well, I don't love this.
Yep.
Who does? You know, exactly. Or who has spent the time.
And that's where your little puzzle pieces
are coming together. So it's like really finding where you are in the puzzle piece and finding, okay, cool.
The other analogy I use that ties in with that is a potluck. So it's like we're all contributing something. And just because one person brings the brownies and one person brings, I don't know, pizza or whatever, like both of those are just as important. One is not better than the other. And so even if two people bring brownies, one person's going to bring a cosmic brownie and one person's going to bring like a peanut butter fudge brownie, right? And so again, it's that specificity of knowing who you are, what you have to offer, what your business, whether it's a product or service, like what makes it different? What makes you stand out? What's your unique contribution?
Yeah. I'm wondering, like, what would you say, or maybe to both of us or all of us, like, what would we say to someone that has a lot of resistance to that? Someone has resistance to being like, well, I want to bring the whole meal. I want to make it all for someone.
I think
versus
most people
like
are
leaning
new.
Into.
Yeah. I think most people that are new feel that way.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the gifts of being in business for a while is business is inherently about self-discovery. It's inherently about self-development. You literally cannot be a business owner through all of the ups and downs and sideways and twists and turns. You know, yeah, you can't do that without self-development. So I think one of the gifts of being in business for a while that I try to pass down to people who are more new is, you know, you really get to know yourself and you really get to see, like you were saying, right? I have this strength and I also have this thing that maybe I'm not as strong in. And yeah, there's a time and place for developing that. But even more so in the new paradigm, it's like, again, you can hire someone who has that specific skill, right? Or you can partner with that person who has those codes that you don't have and share and collaborate, right? And that's coalition wealth building too, right? Napoleon Hill talks about this in Think and Grow Rich. Like it's that power of the mastermind of being able to come together
and see the skills of every person.
Exactly. And just focus on, oh, this is the thing that I'm really good at. This is my specificity. This is what makes my moon happy, right? Yeah.
And there's, to your point, like there's so much happiness that comes through that. You know, I feel like sometimes when you are in entrepreneurship, for example, let's say being really good at sales, being really good at marketing, being good at, you know, you feel like you have to be good at everything.
Yeah.
And
wear all the hats.
We have to wear all the hats. And I also think, you know, to from my own business perspective, it was good for me to wear all those hats because I'm like, I do like that. I don't like that. I understand that. Ooh, I can hire that out. That is in my zone of genius. I don't want to spend time on that. I love doing that. And so it did take some time to kind of understand or become familiar with, well, what are my codes, to use your language? You know, what does that really look like for me? And then be okay with me not having the codes that I could have someone else support me with.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I always tell my clients straight up, I'm like, listen, I would not have a business without my assistant, who's a Gemini rising Capricorn moon. I just like literally wouldn't. I'm like, never leave me. You know, because
give context to that.
So what about her? Yeah. So what about her? Yeah.
So the reason I say that is because my brain doesn't think in bite-sized bits. Like that's not how I process.
But Gemini looks at the details, essentially.
Yes, got it. Exactly. And Capricorn is very good at like
structure.
The structure, the clerical stuff. She's like, okay, I sent that email. And you know, like I'll sometimes just randomly do things and she reaches out to me. She's like, oh, okay, so you launched something. That's great. So how long are we doing that for? And I'm like, sorry, my Aries took over and I just got really excited and decided to just do that last minute. She's like, no, totally fine. She's like, I'm trying to keep up, you know? So yeah, but it's really beautiful because it's like, I don't have those things. And I love the phrase where it's something like, you know, if you tell a fish to climb a tree, it's going to spend its entire life thinking it's stupid, right? It's like, again, like I could spend all this time beating myself up because I don't have those Gemini Capricorn traits and I don't think that way. Or I could spend time celebrating myself in my genius and then allow someone else to support me in those.
So good.
I love that.
So good.
So
do you have another question?
Yeah, I feel like definitely even in, I think knowing where we're headed is like, we're not here to do it alone.
Yeah.
And I also like to speak to people. And it's interesting because a lot of the feedback we've been getting from some of our guests, we always end the podcast with a very specific question. And a lot of the feedback is like, I want to show up more in this in online, or I want to express myself more. And obviously to our listeners, like that's who we're talking to, people that know there's like these other layers of themselves to open up to and express. And maybe they're afraid to, or maybe they're not going there yet. And I try to like encourage a bit of more extroversion and like putting yourself out there and getting uncomfortable, because I feel like Pluto, which is like our evolution as a society, as a planet, is moving into Aquarius. It's like, yeah, the time of introversion, I don't know if you'd agree, is like over in a lot of ways. And we're here to express more and to share more and be that puzzle piece that you spoke to.
Yeah.
To really like fit, like you are here for a purpose and it's like time to step into that purpose.
Oh, 100%. I still think, you know, some people are really going to thrive in their introversion, but I also feel like it's this beautiful thing that happens where the foundation for Aquarius is Leo, right? And Leo, like, yeah, it's being in the spotlight and stuff, but it's mostly like the spotlight comes because you're so lit up, right? It's the sun. You're radiating out because you're so passionate. I always say Leo is connected to the heart in medical astrology. Heart is like courage, right? Core is heart. So it's the courage to follow your heart. That's the foundation for what is going to make you stand out as an individual and also be your contribution to the collective on the Aquarius side of the equation. So it's connecting first and foremost to where does my life force energy live, right? What makes my heart happy? And instead of going straight again into like, okay, what's good for humanity? Because what you are passionate about and what you bring to the table is what's good for humanity.
Yeah. Yeah. As well as healing yourself and loving yourself first is a way to bring it
100%.
Back.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. I always say too, it's like improv school. So, you know, Pluto and Capricorn has been alchemy school. We've been literally transmuting generational trauma. I say this is like an all cardinal person with Aries, Libra, Cancer, yeah. Capricorn partners.
You're like, are we done yet?
Literally, we're yeah. like right at the finish right line.
I know. It feels like a marathon and it's like the hardest part.
This is like our victory
lap. Yet?
I know. Yes. But I've said it's like alchemy school, right? It's been slow. It's been like, oh, I heal this thing and then I make the money, right? I heal this thing and oh, my visibility, you know, issue or my imposter syndrome is fixed or whatever, right? But Pluto and Aquarius moves so differently. It moves so much faster. It's like improv school, right? And it's like you come from a performing background too, right? So you know, right? Improv is all about like
on the yes fly.
And.
Yeah.
And it's like how little kids play, you know? And I love it because when you watch little kids, they're not trying to build a story. You know, they're just, again, they're connected to their heart. They're connected to their life force energy, their creativity. They're excited. They're like, okay, you're going to be the blue mermaid and I'm going to be the purple mermaid. And like, what if we were orphans? And like, what if our mom, she goes, yes, yes, yes. And also like my scales light up at night because they're glow in the dark. Right. And my scales also, you know, and it's so cute to watch them because they're building a story and they don't even realize it. Yeah. Right. And it's this unique, interesting, like, where did that come from? Story. Right. So for us as adults and business owners and leaders, right, it's all about, again, being in that yes and energy of, okay, it's not alchemy school. It's not as simple as like, oh, I heal this money story and I make money. It's actually saying, hey, engage. What is your, I'm going to be the purple mermaid today, right? Because you can't plan out 5 years, 10 years in advance in the same way that we could in the past, right? And that we really have been in this last chapter. So it's more so like, okay, focus on the present moment, focus on where that joy and that excitement and that passion is now, where your life force energy is leading you now, and the next thing will build and build and build and build. And when we look back after 20 years, we're going to see a new story.
Yeah, it's like more like present time growth versus what's going to happen in the future. Was it like the old way that our parents were like, you go to work and you get a 9-to-5 and you retire and you buy a house. It's like, nope, that's not the way anymore. So,
and like improv will make you do the weirdest things.
Yeah,
like totally. When I was in acting school, I spent 10 minutes farting in improv. And I am not a toilet humor person by any means. Like literally, but I was like... Like literally just for 10 minutes because that's where my energy was going. And I finished it and I came out of it and I was like, who is that person? Because that wasn't me, right? But that's the joy of improv school. It's like you find the weird and the wacky and the out there and the outside of the box that characterizes Aquarius, right? But it comes from this place of that foundation of Leo where you're like, I was just kind of in the moment, like enjoying making people laugh, you know?
Yeah, it's like embodied.
So good.
Embodied in yourself and being that fullest expression will be that Leo Aquarius.
Yep. It's the liberation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It sounds a lot like listening to the pings that you want to feel, right? Like
100%.
The pings of like, ooh, that lights me up. Ooh, I want more of that. Ooh, I'm going to go in this direction. Yes. Wait, where the fuck did I just go? Like I thought I was going to make a right at this path.
Yeah.
Actually, I really want to make a left. Yes. I don't want to make the right.
Exactly.
I really want to make the left. And now I'm making the left. I'm making the left, you know? So it looks like really listening to your individual pings throughout your life, throughout your business.
Yep. 100%. Yep.
So as one of the, we're going to start coming to an end here, but one of the questions that we love to ask all of our guests is, you know, since you know so much about your chart, so feel free to take this about like where your chart is and where it's going or just what really pings you right now. What is your next evolution or next era of your fullest expressed self?
Okay, so you know what it is I was having this conversation with a friend of mine this morning who we actually met through Money Bootcamp with Denise DeField Thomas. I don't know if you guys know that. Okay. So we met there, and another thing that she does is sacred money archetypes. So we're familiar with that as well. And I was telling my friend last night, I was like, you know, I'm just in this phase where I want it all, and I want it all at once. You know, like I don't.
This is what we talk about.
Yeah,
this all the time.
Like I don't want to sacrifice on anything, and that's nothing new. Like knowing that is nothing new. Actually implementing that in my life and living it day to day in a way where, you know, in the past few years, I felt that way, but I was also restricted in other ways. And now I'm like, oh, I'm no longer restricted in those ways. Like it's no longer the pandemic and I'm just at home and all I can focus on is my business. There's these other things that are interesting me, like going on a date, going to that concert with a friend, traveling. So I was like, no, I can go to trivia and I can get the oysters and I can get the burger and I can get the drinks. And I can plan my trip on the same day for later in the month. And I can pay my rent. And like, you know, not just from a money perspective, but, you know, I can go on that date and I can hang out with my friends. And I can have this really full life. And she said to me, she's like, yeah, like that's your celebrity sacred money archetype. And I was like, I was like, oh, you genius. I was like, that's exactly what it is, you know, because when I was younger, I literally said, I was like, I want to be a movie star. I want to be a pop star. You know, it wasn't until later in life that I started saying, oh, I want to be an actor. Like, no, when I was young, I just wanted to be a star. Like, you know, like I just wanted to shine bright. And as an adult, I've realized, oh, it's not just about me being in the spotlight. It's that even when we're talking about, well, what do I bring to the potluck? It's that I do have that ability to, you know, hold space in the spotlight on a stage, on a podcast, whatever, right? But then I have all of this life experience and all of this learned knowledge and observation and everything that I've cultivated over the last 30 years. So now it's really benefiting others for me to be in the spotlight. It's not just, again, the joy of me dancing or singing and receiving that applause, but it's like, wow, it actually is exactly where I need to be. Like, I need to be doing more podcasts. I need to, you know, it's just like, it's your celebrity. And I was like, yes, it's my celebrity.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So good.
So good. I'm
so excited. I mean, it feels like you already do own that to your, like, your energy in general is spotlight energy.
Yeah.
And so it seems like it really does. And so I just want to reflect that back to you.
Like, did you say she had Leo in her chart? I missed it.
My first house, second house, and third house are Leo. Oh, Placidus.
Okay. Yeah. Amazing.
And I have a fifth house stellium.
Okay.
And in a 10th house.
In Sag? In
Scorpio.
Oh, Scorpio.
In Scorpio, but fifth house in the Leo connection.
Yeah, yeah, in Leo,
so people often guess. They're like, are you like a Leo moon or something? And I'm like,
stellions are powerful, yeah.
I was like, I'm very Aries. I was like, I have my sun and my Venus in the 10th house in Aries. And I was like, and then I have like a fifth house stellium. And I was like, and I do have Leo in my second house too. So as far as like my gifts and my skills and where I make money, it is, yeah, very Leo
coded. When you shine, yeah.
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 So good.
I know, I could talk forever.
Yeah. I'm so happy that you spoke to that too at the end, because I think it's a beautiful invitation for all the listeners here too. It's like, if you want the spotlight, you can have the spotlight. You know, a lot of the 100%. Podcasts, we were just talking about this because we were working on something else, and it's really inviting anyone to be like, if you're craving more of you, there you can have more of you, whatever that looks like for you. It's the yes and. It's I can have it all. I can be the most expressive in this place, and I can step into the spotlight in here, and I can be a badass in business, and I can do this, and I can order this. It's like, you really can have all of it if you want it. And I love that you're stepping into that. So
yeah,
thank you so much for coming on today, being a part of this episode. It was such a light, I think, to have you on here and really talk about this in depth, and I think is really supportive.
Yeah.
So you mentioned a little of your courses. Where can people find them and find you?
Yeah, so it's really easy to find me because I'm the only person in the world with my name.
I love it.
So it's Catherine Wehler, Wehler. So CatherineWehler.com, Catherine_Wehler on Instagram, Catherine Christine Wehler on Facebook. And then you can find the links to everything all over. But I honestly, I'm kind of a weirdo in this way. I feel like a lot of people don't like when people DM them or reach out to them, but I actually really love it. Like I so enjoy that. So, you know, if people have questions or if they need any help, just feel free to DM me.
Perfect. Yeah. Thank you.
So good.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We really appreciate you being here. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd be grateful if you could leave us a review and share it with a friend.
Also, we would love to hear from you. Reach out to us on Instagram and let us know where you feel inspired to express yourself as you embrace this next era. We are here to support you and encourage you. See you on the next one.